Tetzaveh, and if we have time, a little bit for Zohar, to Tavshin Pei. Okay, so the first thing is, we have this citation here from the Gemara Arachin. It tells us that the Bigdei Kahuna are all Mechaper. They cleanse as the Kohen Gadol wears them, the Kohen in general, but the eight begotten are only worn by the Kohen Gadol. They are a source of cleansing, of kapara, for the Jewish people. And each beged has its unique sin or deficiency that it's mechaper on. And the three that we're going to talk about today, the choshen, the ephod, and the me'il, so they, respectively, the choshen is mechaper on dinim, evil's dinim, like you were talking about before, on the abuse of justice, the improper use of justice. Right? Abuse of justice. That's what he called, that's the choshen mishpat. That's why the section is Shulchan Aruch, that it deals with what he called with civil suits, what he called damages, what he called thefts, etc., monetary issues. That's called choshen mishpat, based upon this. The ephod was mechaper on avodah zara. If there were traces of avodah zara, right, in the Jewish people, the ephod was meant to be mechaper on that. And we'll see why. And finally, the me'il, right, is mechaper, like you mentioned before, on Lashon Hara. So now, let's first examine, right, we have a question here. This is a question from Yaakov Yosef Polonia, Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov. His main Talmud. He wrote down things in the Baal Shem Tov. The main Talmud of spreading Hasidus was the Magen Mizrich. But anyway, he told us, Yaakov Yosef, he asked a question. Mm-hmm. It says, going back to last week's Parsha, when it talks about making all the different Kalim, all the different vessels for the Mishkan. So it always says it in the singular, Vasisa, and you shall make. Vasisa, 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 you shall make. When it comes to the Aron, it says Vasu. It says in the plural. And the Mefarshim say, Chazal say, why does it say Vasu there? So that a person should know, that everyone should know, that if you want to have a Keshet to Torah, you can have it. Because the Aron is the symbol of Torah. And we want to know that it's there for the entire public, right? Everybody. Vasu. Therefore, no one is excluded from the Torah. So that's why it's written in the plural. He takes note of the fact that by the ephod here in our parsha, we're talking about the Big Day Kahuna, all the other Big Day Kahuna also says Vasisa. By the ephod, it says Vasu. And nobody says anything about it. Right?
On the ephod.
Right, on the ephod. By the Aron, everybody gets up in arms. Why say Vasu? To show that everybody's got a kesher to Torah. When it comes to what he called, comes to the ephod, it says Vasu, and nobody says it. Mum.
What's Asu?
The Asu is plural. We nobody call it. They shall do. And it was the general population to do. So why are we talking about Su, Dafka, by the ephod? Not by the tzitz, not by the ksones, not by the me'il, not by the kosher mishpat, not by any of the other begunim. Only there it's written in the plural. He says, and people are mum about it. Why? So let's examine. First of all, the ephod, right? The ephod is, was used even by Ovdei Avodah Zarah. They would wear a garment of this nature, right? And that's a pasuk.
Similar.
Right, similar. Not exactly, not the same, but what do you call it? Similar, an ephod. It was an apron. It was an apron. And it was worn even by people who were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, that they bring a pasuk to. And somehow we see that the way that ephod was machaper on Avodah Zarah is because when you use the same sort of beged that might be used by Avodah Zarah, but we're going to give it a new twist, we're going to give it a different understanding, so that will differentiate between the way Avodah Zarah uses it And l'havdil, the way you would call a Jew who's being over Hashem uses it.
Who's going to do that?
I'm saying that's really what my intention over here is to show, is that the ephod is going to find its expression in a special way in the wearing of the Kohen Gadol, so that you'll see the difference between an ephod worn by an Ovid Avodah Zarah and the ephod HaKodesh that was being worn by the Kohen Gadol. And we'll see that. We'll see that. How we'll see? We'll see in just a moment. Mentioned before when we were talking, we said that the Rashi says that it looked like an apron. Right? And he knew, and he saw that, he understood that from the way that he saw the French princesses. They would wear an apron of this type when they were riding. It was clearly the ephod was an article that showed you're in a state of service, right? Like a woman who's serving, she'll wear an apron, right? Wear an apron. So too, the kohen, he's serving in the Beis HaMikdash, right? He's meant to be over in the Beis HaMikdash, he's serving in the Beis HaMikdash. He wears this apron-like garment. Okay, fine. So let's continue on. We're going to see, God willing, the unique relationship between the ephod, right? Mm-hmm. And the choshen, which was on top of it, and the me'il that was underneath it, right? Because remember, the me'il, right, is his cloak. Mm-hmm. On top of that, he wears the apron, he wears the ephod, and on top, attached to the top of the ephod is the choshen mishpat. We're going to see the relationship between the ephod and the choshen on the one hand, and the me'il on the other hand, and that will give us a new understanding, right, of the ephod, so we'll understand why the wearing of a garment that could even be used by an Ovid Avodah Zarah, right, but the way that we wear it shows how we are diametrically opposed to that type of service, and that's why it's going to be mechaper. That's what we're going to see. Let's see how. So first of all, let's examine a little bit about
why can't they do a similar imitation? Reproduction.
Well, I understand, but the idea is it's a funny thing, right? I mean, you find it in other places also. You also find it with regard to the Ksonis, but we're not talking with the Ksonis right now. That if you want to cleanse away an Avera, you're going to use the very sort of garment that they use. You'd think let's use something else. Why use a garment that you have a similarity with people who are doing the wrong thing, and that's supposed to be so holy here and meant to, what do you call it, meant to be mechaper? It's like a funny thing. But we'll see, because the beged, again, once again, the ephod is clearly a beged that's associated with in the state of service, just like an apron that a woman might wear, right, when she's serving. So too, the kohen wears an apron. And so to l'havdil, over the Avodah Zarah, when they're serving their gods, they're also, what do you call, they're also wearing this apron type of object, showing, you know, kilu, their deference, right? What do you call, I'm in a state of service, you know, vis-a-vis this power. So we'll see. So first of all, let's just examine a little bit with the ephod, and then we'll go on to, what do you call, to the choshen mishpat and to the me'il, and I think it'll get clear. First, let's discuss the
so the way it's worn is essentially part of the service.
Yeah, I mean, the kohen, first of all, the kohen is not allowed to do the service in the Mishkan or the Mikdash unless he's wearing his big tekuna. If he's missing a beged, his avodah is pasul, psula.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He has to be wearing these begadim. So let's take a look. Here, remember we talked about the stones on the shoulder straps, right? Those are the Avnei Shoham. The Shoham stone happened to have also been the stone, according to most of the opinions.
Right? Shoulder straps are on the ephod.
Remember, the shoulder straps are on the ephod, and remember the Choshen Mishpat is attached to the front of the cord of the ephod, right? Right? And, yeah, and the me'il is underneath the ephod.
Got it.
Okay. So now, these two stones, remember we saw these two stones here.
They were choshen me'il.
Great call. These two stones that are on the shoulder straps, these are on the strap, Avnei Shoham. And if you look, right, according to the vast, vast majority of the opinions, right, the Shoham right? The Shoham stone is associated with Yosef. If that was his stone, on the Choshen, remember, the Shoham made its appearance twice. It appeared, right? It appeared as the two stones. Clearly, that's what it says, Avnei Shoham are on the shoulder straps of the ephod. But the Shoham also makes its appearance, right? Also makes its appearance on the, what do you call it, on the Choshen.
Isn't the Lucas who made the Shoham?
No, they call it Sapir, right. So here, what do you call it? So here, look at this. Now you see over here, there are different opinions exactly how the Choshen appeared. Was it three columns, right? Three columns and four rows, and those are 12 stones. Or is it, right? Is it four columns and three rows? Right, and there are different opinions exactly how it looked, but okay.
Right,
but
so further, you're changing now the topic. First, we're talking about the stones on the eighth.
Right, so we're just pointing out. We're pointing out. Let's not lose it. Right,
it's
parenthetical. Right, it's parenthetical. Okay. The Shoham. The Shoham, you see, is the stone of Yosef on the Choshen.
Right.
Right. So that would call, that's an important fact. Because Yosef, right, has the capacity to attach all the other tribes to Avram Yitzchak, right? He has the ability to attach them because he's a quasi-Av, Yosef. He's a Shevet, but he's also like a quasi-Av, right? He's an extension of Yaakov, etc. So you look over here, the Chassam Sofer says, okay, the Chassam Sofer says, look at this, on the Kisvos HaEphod, right, on the shoulder straps of the Ephod, Kisvos HaEphod, Shmosam Murbavim, right, in other words, all the names appeared together on those two stones, unlike on the Choshen, where every Shevet had its own stone, right. On the kisos, the ephod, on the shoulder straps of the ephod, they're all mixed together. And that shows that, what do you call it, that like Rashi says in Parshas Vayechi, that every bracha, right, every bracha that Yaakovinu gave to every individual shevet, they all got those brachas, because they're all mixed together. In other words, the idea of the stones of the Avodah to show they were all one, for one unit, all together.
Right.
That's why all the names appear together on those two stones.
Right.
Whereas on the Choshen Mishpat, each one got his own stone, because each one has his own unique qualities. Right? So on the Choshen Mishpat, everyone's got their unique qualities, but to show that we're all together, we're all one unit, on the Avnei Shoham, where all the names are mixed together. Now, in addition, the Chassam Sofer, who's the son of the Chassam Sofer, right? He writes a very interesting thing. Look at this pasuk over here in Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Yud Beis. It says, "V'samta eshtei avanim." You shall place the two stones al kisos ha'efod on the straps of the ephod. Avnei zikaron, stones of remembrance, right? Livnei Yisrael, for the Jewish people, right? V'nasa Aharon eshvosam. And Aaron will carry their names, Lifnei Hashem, before Hashem, Al Shteik Seifav, on his two shoulders, Lizikaron. Why twice? It says Zikaron over here, and Zikaron over here. He says a fascinating thing. The first Zikaron is to remind us to behave like children of the Avos. Right? It's Avni Zikaron Livnei Yisrael. It's to remind us to behave like children of the Avos. The second Zikaron is, if we do that, then Hashem will remember the merit of the Avos for us. So he says there's two Zikronos over here, right? One is that we should remember to behave like children of the Avos. Next, if we do that, so then He will remember the merit of the Avos for us. And what's particularly fascinating when you think about it is part of the way that we have to remember to be proper children of the Avos is, as the Chassam Sofer says, we have to remember one another. We're all mixed together. on the two stones of the, what he called the Kisos Eifod. So if we remember, right, our relationship to Hashem, and of course, if we remember our relationship to one another, right, they were behaving like proper children to the Avos. So then, right, then we'll remember for us the merit of the Avos. Okay, fine. Further. On the Kriyachar. Now going down, we're going to go to the Choshen. So clearly, the Avnei Shoham are talking about the unity of the Jewish people, right? We have to realize that we're all mixed together.
This pasuk is on the straps.
Yes, right. The stump, the regular, those are the straps. What do you call those? Are called that, that's on the straps of the
Shoham,
right? Of eight-foot, right? A straps of the eight-foot, right? And we're the Avnei Shoham. I've shown we're on those straps, right?
And but this pasuk is written on the straps.
That's straps of the eight-foot, right? I mean, oh, you mean is the pasuk written there? Mm-hmm. No, it's not written there. Somebody say it was written there? No, it's not written there. Okay. There is some discussion about something else, but not about this, no. Uh-huh. Okay. Now let's go to the Avnei HaChoshen. The Kliyakar says on the Avnei HaChoshen, right? He says, once again, over here, an interesting idea. In he brings the Sefer HaKedis Yitzchak that says, like we mentioned before, that some of the stones of the Avnei HaChoshen were precious, and some were semi-precious, right? And this is to show a Dayan, when he's judging, right? He should remember that a case of $1 million and a case of $1.50 has equal importance, right? In other words, don't differentiate between cases based upon, well, this is important, this is a lot of money, this is a little bit of money. That's the first thing, right? And also, we said that according to the vast majority of the opinions, right? I mean, it's really according to everybody, the question is how you understand it, but most of the opinions hold that the names of the tribes were written in an order that is the order of their birth, regardless of who their mother was. Again, except according to one opinion. Right? Regardless of who their mother was. So in other words, you could have the Shvatim that come from Leah and what do you call it, Rachel, and they might be preceded by what you call Shvatim that are born from Bilhah and Zilpah. Okay? And that's to show Shalo Yisav Pnei Ish, that also the Dayan, when he judges, he shouldn't give more kavod, right? Show more deference to a person who's got a higher position than the person with a lower position. Everybody has to be equal in the eyes of the law. So we have the idea of, on the one hand, that a case of $1 million and a case of a buck is all the same. And here also, the way you treat the defendants, right? What do you call the two parties who come to court, right? You treat them equally also. It's this idea of equality in justice. So we had over here in the Avnei Shoham equality in terms of just our essential brotherhood. Right? We're all mixed together on the Avnei HaShoham. In the Avnei HaChoshen, we're talking about how the judge has to look at them. Treat each case equally, treat each defendant, right, equally. Two litigants, I should say, really, not defense, litigants.
A bill of rights.
Right. And also, since they're all, that's the way the stones are there, it's to remind the dying, don't you get hoity-toity either, right? Right? And it's just like we see that this is where the value of judgment is, everything is equal before the eyes of the law. You're also equal, Enrico. Don't see yourself as being the big cheese. Right? So equality and justice. Now, Chazal say in the Gemara and Shabbos, all this is all in the Kliyakar, Chazal say in the Gemara and Shabbos that Aaron merited to wear the Choshen Mishpat upon his, right, upon his chest. Why? Because when Moshe was concerned,
what's on his chest?
The Choshen Mishpat, right? Yeah. It's on his chest, right? We've got the, right?
It's okay.
Right here.
The Moshe is on his chest.
On his chest, see? Right there. Right? Why did he merit to wear that? Because Moshe was concerned when Hashem was appointing him to be the prophet, to lead the Jewish people out of Egypt, right? So he was concerned, how can I take away my job from my brother? He's been with him during all those years of suffering. I'm going to come now. How terrible he's going to feel. You know, I'm taking his position now when they're finally going to be redeemed out of Egypt. Now I take his place. Hashem says to him, V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo. He's going to see you and he's going to rejoice in his heart. And that's exactly what happened. He saw Moshe Rabbeinu, knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was going to take his place after he was leading the Jewish people through all the years of the suffering.
What does it have to do with the Choshen?
Time out. Pay attention and slow down. Right? What, that heart that was so selfless, right? And said, when he called, only what Hashem wants is what's important, right? My brother's going to take them out of Egypt. He didn't have a drop of jealousy inside of him. On the contrary, he only rejoiced over his brother's rise to greatness. He's now going to be the one, the agent, who's going to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim and ultimately bring the Torah and give it down from heaven and give it to them. That heart that has that quality, that will have the Choshen Mishpat on it. Right? And carry all the names of the Jewish people. That's the heart that I want to be, we call carrying all the names of the Jewish people.
Therefore what was that going to do?
So that's why he's Zocha to wear the Choshen Mishpat.
Because he was happy that Moshe was going to take him out.
That's a selfless heart. That selfless heart can have all the names shown in unity, what he calls everybody equal under the law, as it were. Yeah? Okay. By the way, parenthetically, remember inside the folds of the Choshen Mishpat, right, were the names of Hashem, and those served as the Urim V'Tumim, right? Whenever the king, or let's say even the head of the army, had some sort of question that was right that related to right to all the Jewish people, he would come and ask the Kohen. God forbid. Right, he'd bring it to the Kohen, and the letters of the Choshen, right, the letters of the Choshen would light up. Right? He would bring the answer through Ruach HaKodesh.
And he had the question.
Right?
Who asked the question? Anybody?
Let's say the king asked the question. Ah. Right? The king, or let's say the head of the army. Yeah? Right, he's got a question. It had to be something that was shy to the tzibur. He would come and stand in front of the coin, he'd ask the question, and the letters on the, what we call the stones of the Choshen, would light up. And through Ruach HaKodesh, right, he understood what the answer was. Right? And as you could make a mistake. If you had Ruach HaKodesh, so you were able to understand what the answer was. The coin could interpret it. So the Rav Tzadok HaKohen explains, right, explains that the way that worked is since the Jewish people are the vehicle for Hashem's presence in the world, so his the conduit, the pipeline of Hashem's Hashkacha down to the world comes through, just like the Beis HaMikdash is the place where Hashem's Shechina, as it were, in space, yeah, it finds its conduit down to the Beis HaMikdash and then spreads out to the rest of the world, so too the collective souls of the Jewish people are the conduit through the medium of souls, but they are the mikdash of souls, the joined souls of the Jewish people. The joined souls of the Jewish people are like the Beis HaMikdash in the world of souls. So therefore, Hashem's Ratzon comes down through the circuit board called the souls of the Jewish people, since Aaron, right, he's got a great heart that loves everyone, right, and he binds together all the Jewish people, it passes the circuit board, is on his chest, and that's where you see the answers. Look, this is an interesting point, a parenthetical phrase, just to support what we were talking about, this idea of Choshen being representative of the unity of the Jewish people, right, the unity of the Jewish people in they're being attached to one another, and they become a vehicle there for the Shekhinah. Here, next, is this pasuk chavches? This is talking about the choshen. It says v'yirkasu es a choshen, right? Mitabatzo el taboso efod b'psil tchelis lios al cheshev efod v'lo yizach ha choshen me'al efod. These words here, these last words here in pasuk chavches, v'lo yizach ha choshen me'al efod. The choshen should never move from the efod, and this is like as the Rambam says in Sefer Mitzvos, is an issur d'oraisa. You take off the Choshen, again, under what circumstances, what do you call it, maybe discussion, right? But the general idea is if you remove the Choshen from the Eifod, you're over in Issur D'oraisa. It's similar to the din by the Aron HaKodesh. You're not allowed to remove the staves They're meant to carry the Aron HaKodesh. You're not allowed to, an Iser to remove the staves from the Aron. So too is an Iser to remove the Choshen from the, what do you call it, from the, its attachment to the Ephod.
What's symbolic of that?
So we'll see that in just a moment. Because our whole idea, remember, our whole premise here is we're going to show how, what do you call it, the Ephod has to be attached to the, what do you call it, to the Choshen, right? Therefore, it's a psul if you remove it. We'll see in just a moment. Okay.
Attached is a very funny word.
What?
Attached.
Yeah.
It's a very funny word.
Why?
Because if you change the H to a K, it's attack.
Okay. Thank you. That's a good call. We'll put that in. All right. That's a good one. Okay. Fine. Right.
Page?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Because this Imri Amos we discussed before. We discussed the idea of the two stones here, right, made out of the stone of Shoham, yeah. Right, which was Yosef's stone, because Yosef was like a semi-Av. He connected them. Each stone representing what we call Avram and Yitzchak, right? And what do you call it? And Yosef is the one, is the extension of Yaakov himself. That we know, and he even turned, what he called there, they're bound all together, and then it attaches to the Choshen Mishpat. In the Choshen Mishpat, under the usage of justice, everybody's equal also. It's not just a general backdrop on the stones over here. We're all brothers, we're all mixed with one another. But here, in terms of application on the chest, representing justice, everybody has to be treated the same, and every case has to be treated the same, etc. Okay? Now, we come to another question from, right, the Rav Yaakov in Polonia, Tolos Yaakov Yossi. He asks another question. It says, Baal Shem Tov, right. Look at this over here. It says, V'asisa es me'il ha'efod.
Is this a word from the Baal Shem, or is this his own?
This is, he would call, this is just a question he asked. I'm not necessarily doing what, 100% what he did. But what he called, but I saw that he asked the question. It's better to say it in his name than my name. Right? It says over here, Vasisa es me'il ha'efod klil techeles. Now that's a very strange statement. Why? Remember, the me'il is the main garment underneath. The ephod is like an apron with a belt on it. Right? That you tie on to the me'il, right? You've got your me'il on over here. You put your ephod on top of it. Now you're wearing an apron on your me'il, okay? And then you tie the ephod, the belt of the ephod onto you. So that's like your belt on top of your me'il. But what does it say here? It says vasisa es me'il ha ephod. That's like saying these are the pants of my belt. It's like you wouldn't say these are the pants of my belt. You'd say this is the belt of my pants, right? And here it says it's me'il ha'ephod. It's the me'il of the ephod.
This is the dress of the apron.
Right, of the ephod, which is a garment that goes on top, which is like an apron and with a belt on it. So it's like saying this is the dress of my apron, ki'ilu, right? You're a woman, right? No, this is the apron of my dress, not the dress of my apron, right? So he asked the question. He talks about it however he talks about it. But, right? So my premise is as follows, right? We mentioned before that the me'il is mechaper on Lashon Hara, right? Lashon Hara. On improper speech. And not only that, but the on the bottom of the me'il, we said, are the bells with, what do you call it, with the pomegranates, the golden bells. And the Kli Yakar says, right? The Kli Yakar says that the idea is that the Me'il represents, first of all, making sure that there's no negative speech that comes from you, and that's why the neck was doubled over to remind you. Just as the neck is doubled over here, so too your tongue has to be reminded that there are two barriers in front of it to keep it from wagging inappropriately. Your lips, your teeth, and your lips. Two barriers. That's why it's folded over. On the other hand, it's not just sufficient to control your negative speech, but the golden bells that make the sound, right, are there to remind you that your speech should be golden. It should be speech of kindness. It should be speech of brachos. It should be speech of what he calls Torah, right? So the Me'il is all about speaking properly, speaking words that bind yourself to the, what he calls to Hashem, words that bind yourself to your fellow Jew, right? And not words, God forbid, that separate you from your Creator and separate you from what he calls from your fellow Jew. So that being the case, mm-hmm. that returns us now back to our initial question. I think we have a possibility of understanding that.
What was that?
The whole idea was, recall, the ephod. The ephod was a garment that's meant to cleanse the any flaws of Avodah Zarah in the Jewish people. But we said the ephod was also a garment worn by Avodah Zarah themselves.
Right.
Right. The difference is, mm-hmm. right, is in the fact that the ephod has a unique relationship with the choshen on top of it and the meal underneath it. In other words, the choshen, remember we said there's an isa deraisa to remove the choshen from what he called from the ephod. An isa deraisa. The choshen is all about equality, right, being attached to one another, equality, right, equality between all the shvatim, right, and record in the way that justice is applied, in the way we live together. The me'il, underneath it, is all about making sure that your words are not words that damage others. They're only words that bind together others. Those two begadim, the choshen on the top and the me'il on the bottom, we mentioned also the me'il, it's written in the Chumash as being strange, as being called the me'il ha'ephod, which we said is upside down. It's the ephod of the me'il, not the me'il of the ephod. Because the idea is that the me'il gives us, together with the choshen on the other side, a new understanding of how to look at the ephod. The ephod is a beged of service. But the two ways to serve, there is, right, a way to serve, so in the end, I can be on top, I can get what I want, I can serve my God so that he'll give me what I want. And then there is a way to serve, right, where I want my God to direct me, to do what's true, what's right, what's moral, what's correct, etc. One way is really I'm only serving him to manipulate him into giving me what I want. The other way, right, is to what he called, is to serve him in a way, that what he called, because I want to do what he wants me to do. And that we've talked about many times, the Medrash, right, the contrast, right, the Medrash, that unbelievable Medrash in Parshas Vayetze and Parshas Miketz, which contrast the dream of Yaakov and the dream of Paro. In Yaakov's dream, Hashem is Nitzav Alav. Hashem is above him. In Paro's dream, Paro's Omid Alior. He stands above the Nile, which is a deity of his. Says the Medrash, look at the difference between the Tzadikim and the Rishayim. The Tzadikim, Elokeim, Omid Aleim. Their God stands above them. The Rishayim, they stand above their gods. Right? Because in the world of the Ovid Avodah Zarah, he can be willing to sacrifice even his firstborn. It doesn't make any difference. In the end of the day, what he wants to do is manipulate his deity into giving him what he wants. He remains the focus. He remains the center. He remains ultimately in control. If I do what this deity wants me, he'll give me what I want. Whereas in Yaakov's dream, that's the essence of the Jew, is I want to serve Hashem, because I want him to direct me as to what the right way to live is. The litmus test in all of this avoda always is, how do you deal with your fellow? Right? How do you deal with your fellow? How do you deal with your fellow Jew? If you can't, record, connect yourself to him, if all you can do is abuse him or berate him, right, or lord over him, etc., it shows you never left the egocentric universe. It shows that what he called that your avoda is an avoda psula, right? So that's the kapara of the ephod, right? We take a beged, which symbolizes service, an apron-like beged. It symbolizes service. And how do we use it as a kapara for avodah zarah? Because it has a choshen on top, which is usher to remove from it, and it has a me'il on the bottom, right? Which is referred to in the Chumash, as me'il ha'ephod, rather than ephod ha'me'il, right? So that the me'il is helping you to understand what the ephod is about. Right? Those two things. Those two things. And that answers, recall, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef's initial question, which was, why does it even also with the ephod? Because it's all about unity. If there's no unity, right, in the ones we're serving, then it shows that their service is flawed. Right? If I can't get along with my neighbor, or I can't stop berating him, right, or I can't lord over him or abuse him or take advantage of him, then all the, what do you call it, all of my protestations that I, you know, I love Hashem and Hashem is the main thing to me, right, is really called, is really a little bit of hot air, right? And interestingly enough, right, this is, right, it's Parshas Zohar also. And it's interesting that the Mor Bashamish, one of the Hasidic masters, right, called Talmud of Elimelech ben Lezhensk, right, the Hasidic liver, he was the, what do you call it, the Mor Bashamish, right, Kronos Kalman, what do you call it, Shapira, in Krakow, he says an interesting thing. It says that when Amalek attacked us, right, so when Amalek attacked us, so let's see the Russian inside the Chumash. It says, Asher Korcha Baderech, right? Here, this is this week's Parsha Zohar. Zohar is Asher Solacha Amalek, Baderech Batseischem Mitzrayim. Remember what he did to you when you left, right, Egypt. Asher Korcha Baderech. So Rashi explains, Korcha Baderech is, what's in Kor is like a Lashon of cooling, a Kor, Korcha, Mikra, right? So Rashi says, right, we lost our faith, we lost our confidence, because we were flying high and thought all the nations of the world, as it were, no one dare touch us. And by Amalek attacking us, right, so what the result is it cooled off. It was like he was like the mushroom the Medrash uses is like it was a hot bathtub. Everybody's afraid to put a foot into it. So one guy comes along, he jumps into it, he gets burned, but everybody else is willing to step in afterwards, right? Because they're not so afraid anymore once he cooled it down by stepping in himself. So before they attacked us, we were in a state of, we're close to Hashem, and Hashem is taking care of us, and there's no issues, etc. But there were some flaws beforehand, and he was able to attack us. He cooled us down in our self-confidence through faith in Hashem. That's what Rashi explains it. The Mor Bashamish says that he instilled in us, and the truth is, it really can be two sides of the same coin. He instilled in us a cool relationship between one another.
That's worse.
That's what he called it. It's an interesting thing because it really one emanates from the other. If Hashem, right, is the center of my universe, right, if I know Hashem is guiding me, Hashem is leading me, but because they were afflicted now with self doubts because Amalek attacked them. So then you begin to recede into yourself. Before, when you're attached to Hashem, that's the center of everything, right? Hashem loves me, I love him, I love my fellow Jews, because we're all in this together, each one of us a letter in the Sefer Torah, like the Shlach says, Yisrael, Yesh, Shishim, Rebo, Oskius, the Torah, the 600,000 root letters in the Torah, the 600,000 root souls, we're all connected, yes, yes, yes. When you break that confidence vis-a-vis the Creator, so you begin to recede, you become more, right, concerned with yourself. And then you begin to create barriers between you and your fellow Jew. So that's the krirus. It cools us off.
People become depressed.
Right. We become depressed and become more self-centered, right? Not giving as much, etc. So what happens, so it's very interesting. It's very interesting. The fact that this week is Parshas Tetzaveh, right? And we just discussed the lesson of the Ksonis and its unique relationship between the Choshen and the Me'il, and it comes out that what he calls it, that's part of our issue also with Amalek, right? Amalek cools us down. He cools us down in terms of our relationship with Hashem, right? We lose confidence. Hashem is there for us. He's there for us. He loves us. We love him. We begin to get a little confused with that, right? And as a result, it cools down our relationship with one another. So, Mitzvah Hashem, we're going to pay attention to Parshas Tetzaveh. And mitzvah deraisa, we call it, to listen to Parsha Zohar, and we're going to be warm. We're going to be varm and yidin, like they say. And we're going to be warm hearts vis-a-vis the Creator, and warm hearts vis-a-vis one another, and that'll be our lead into Purim, right?
That's
we'll,
it.
That's going to be our Purim.
That was Purim's full suit.
Right. Right. Bind us together. Remind us that Hashem is there with us and remind us that we're there for each other. Okay. It should be a great Shabbos and a great Purim and Mirtzah Hashem.